Proverbs 22, verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Would you lift your hands, young people? Ask the Holy Ghost to help us anoint us this morning. Lamb of God. Amen. I want to preach something maybe a little different than normal this morning, but I'm different than normal, I guess. So, Brother Jim said that's right. Did you see me here this morning at 8 o'clock? Whoever yesterday said that I needed to be, I was here, all right? So you can get with me this morning. Proverbs 22 and 1, the Bible said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. God be my helper this morning. I want to preach on the riches of a good reputation. The riches of a good reputation. What a premium here is placed on a good name. If the choice is given whether to pick a good name or riches untold, the Bible tells us that the choice is clear and it's simple. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Understand, the writer here realizes that riches and fame and fortune are fleeting, but reputation is forever. If any man knew about reputation and riches, it was the writer of the book, the majority of the book of Proverbs. The man Solomon knew about riches and wealth. But I read a lot of times when he got to talking about the wealth and the riches and all of this, when it was all said and done, he said it's all vanity. But a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A reputation is what you're known by. It's what you're remembered by. And before you say the famed statement, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. Let me just share a few things with you this morning about our reputation. A reputation, understanding, is what you're known by. It's what you're remembered by. And this morning, your reputation is reflected in your conduct. What you're known by. Sometimes, and this morning, I understand that sometimes reputation is formed by one random act, and it's what you're remembered by for the rest of your life. There's certain names I could throw out this morning, and in the junior classes, I could say David, and they'll say Goliath, or they'll say a lion and a bear. But some of you is older, and a lot of times our older minds, when you say David, it goes to Bathsheba. He's remembered by that one act, that one fleeting failure that he prayed through and it was forgiven and it's gone, but that's what he's remembered. Judas is remembered by his betrayal. Peter is remembered around the fire cursing as the Lord is being crucified. There's all sorts of things that we're remembered by, but the most of the time, it's not one random act that forms our reputation. It is our tendencies. It is the things that we fall back on. It's our conduct over a course of years. Understand, reputation is formed by repetition. What we do continually over and over, our acts, our attitudes, the way we dress, the way we live, all of this is forming our reputation. And I hope I can prove to you by the end of this little message that it is very important how we form our reputation and what others think of us, not what the world thinks of us, not what our peers think of us, if we're cool or if we're not cool, but when it comes to the things of God and our reputation and our character, it is of the utmost importance that we keep a good name. As I looked at this and prayed about this last night, this morning, and again a while ago, that just kept coming back to my mind. You know and I know that there's young men and young women that have formed reputations that aren't really all that good. And that doesn't happen overnight. Most of the time, people can understand. I don't know about you, but when I was 15 to 18, I can say this for me so you can't get, my brain quit working. It really did. Brother Jim, some of us that happens later in life. But mine was when I was young. My brain just quit working. So most of the time, people will overlook just a foolish act. They'll have mercy. But when a reputation is formed, is when what that young man or young woman is known by. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as a godly young man or a godly young woman. But it's sad to say, and I'm not here to lift up the negative, but I've got to preach it to get my point across. It's sad to say, at a lot of camps and a lot of young people, there are those among us that have reputations that have preceded them across the country and at different camps for things that are not that great. Listen to me, young men. And I'll just use terminology that you'll understand. I'm not that much older than you. And I hope this is all right. Young men doesn't get the reputation of being a player by dating one young lady and treating her good and being good to her and loving her and being there and then growing up and marrying her. That's not how they get that reputation. But there's a lot of young men that get that reputation because, Brother Dallin, they go to camp after camp after camp. Is this all right, Brother Jim? Camp after camp after camp. And everywhere they go, they are known. You see a young lady talking to them. You want to run up to them and shake them and say, hey, he did this at the last camp he was at. He talked to every little worldly girl that come along. It's amazing to me that spirit attracts to each other. You see a bunch of worldly little boys, they're going to be attracted to the most worldly girls. And it's at every camp. Don't flatter yourself, young lady, and think that you're the only one that he's done that to. Because a lot of times you can do a little research and you find out that boy's got a reputation. I know some of them. I really do. They've got a reputation, Brother Jim. They just go from here to there. They don't take it serious. It doesn't matter. And I hope I have your respect enough to preach like this morning. They run around from church to church and from camp to camp. They run around with every little girl. They kiss on everything that comes along. And then they begin to get a little older. And what they don't realize, one day their brain's going to start back working again. And they're not going to believe the things that they did. I know a lot of young men. It's funny now. They think it is. Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah, I got all of this. I'm the man. I got all of these girls, and I'm just the man, and I'm somebody. But that is not a reputation, young men, that you want to get. That's not a reputation that you want to gather to your name, because you understand once you become known as that, it can take years to outlive what you did in a few short days. It can take a lifetime to outlive a few years worth of mistakes when you're not paying attention and you're not guarding. The Bible said that we need to guard our heart. We need to guard our, why? Because we're gathering a reputation. I could preach to the young men for a long time and really rake them over the coals. But it's not just young men anymore. There's young ladies as well that have gotten a reputation that they're a heartbreaker. Young men come along, they begin to talk to them, and I'm going to move on from this. This ain't my whole message. But they talk, and Brother Jim, they flirt. And oh, wow, it's just, man, it's wonderful. And they really like me. And man, but what you don't understand, boy, is that she does it everywhere she goes. Young lady, don't think for a minute, young men, don't think for a minute that people aren't taking notice of how you conduct yourself. I know this is different. I could have preached on something. Maybe we could have shouted and danced. I don't know. But don't think for a minute people aren't taking notice of how you're acting. Not just in the sanctuary. And I love to shout and dance and run, and I'm ready to do it. But understand, when you walk out them doors, the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you carry yourself, the things that you say, they are building a reputation that will follow you for the rest of your life. Reflects your conduct, how you live, how you act. It matters. Not only does your reputation reflect your conduct, but your reputation reflects your church. There's a lot of churches that are guilty by association. You understand this morning that not everybody knows that your pastor's a holiness man. Not everybody knows that you go to a good holiness church. And you understand right or wrong, the fact of the matter is that a lot of people judge your church and your pastor by the way you live. I remember growing up at different youth camps. We would go to youth camp, and I would be around those that were my age, and I'd watch them shout and speak in tongues and sing like an angel. And Brother Jim, they just had it going on. But I remember when I'd go back out to the dorm, I'd hear boys begin to talk about things that weren't fitting to talk about in just boys or mixed company. Filthy talk. I'd see them do things, and I would hear them begin to, Brother Jim, I'm not saying this is the way it should be, but my mind, I'm a human. My mind would automatically go to their church and their pastor. And I wonder in my mind, do they know how these young people are acting? Do they know how these young people are living? And they still you and understand me, that's people are looking at those types of things. It can bring a reproach on your church. How many of you love your pastor this morning? It's a trick question. You better raise your hand if he's here. If you don't raise your hand. How many of you love your church? You want people. I know how I am, Brother Jim. I want people to think my church is the best church. I want them to, man, you go to Summit. That's a great church. It's a wonderful church. But, Brother Jim, a lot of people don't know. They don't know all the people that go to my church, but they know me. And if they say, I wonder if everybody, ask yourself this question. If I'm the only ambassador, if I'm the only thing that people see and they judge my entire church by me, what are they going to think about my church? Can I just preach to you a little while this morning? Young people, that if you are, and I thank God for all of you that got help, but I want to preach to you, if you are going to be the young person that plays the role of a hypocrite, play the role of one that shouts and dances and talks in tongues in church and then goes out and lives a different life, please don't tell them where you go to church. Is that all right? Please don't tell them that you just left the Calvary Holiness Youth Camp in Broxton, Georgia. If you're one of those young people, and I understand there's a lot of different opinions and facts, and that's not what I'm here to argue this morning. That's not my point. But if you're one of those young people that's got a Facebook page, and all over the entire page is your favorite movies and your favorite country singers, and you're doing this and you're doing that, and all of your friends' pages has got pictures of them in bikinis and bathing suits, and there's all sorts of filth, please don't put on there where you go to church, because your reputation reflects your church, and there's a lot of pastors that's caught a lot of heat over young people that were careless and didn't pay attention to what they were doing, and then their good pastor has to try to explain why his young people are out saying and doing all of these things. Be careful. Be careful. People's watching you. They're looking at you. When you get on the social networks and whatever you do and everything. And I remember, we didn't have it when I was growing up. 10, 12 years ago, we didn't. Well, the youth camps I went to, we really didn't. But I do remember that I was around a lot of people. I knew their pastors. I knew they were good churches. They were good pastors. And they preached a good standard. But these kids could tell you more of what's going on in the world. They could tell you every new movie that come out. And I'm not saying one movie's better than the other by any stretch of the imagination, but they could tell you about movies that I had seen different advertisements for, and I knew they were the farthest thing away from anything holy. They were filthy and perverted, but they laughed and they joked and they quoted scenes from the movie, and I thought, my God in heaven, what in the world, if their pastor only knew. You understand, you're a living epistle. Read of all men. What you do not only affects you. I'm going to tell this. It's been a long time ago, all right, so don't fall out with me. It's been 12, 13, I don't know how long ago it's been. I was young, I just felt a call to preach, but I was hanging out with a group of people that really wasn't the most conservative people. Brother Jim, one night we went bowling. I come back home, and I didn't think much else about it. I went again. I prayed, and God dealt with my heart and all of that. But one day, my good pastor, Brother Steve Gentry, he said, "I want you to go out and eat with me the night after church, Jonathan." I said, "All right." We went to Shoney's. I remember it. We sat down in the booth. We started eating. If you know Brother Steve, he can cut up and joke, but then he can turn it off that quick and just intimidate. And he said, "I want to talk to you about something." I said, "All right, go ahead." He said, "I heard you went bowling a couple weeks ago." I said, "Oh, God." I said, "Yeah, I did, bro. Yeah, I did." This was, it was several hours away from home. But do you know what I did had already beat me back to the house? And then my pastor had to explain why a young boy that had just felt a call to preach in his church that knew better went off and did something. And he told me right quick, he said, "If you want to kill your ministry," he said, "if you want to kill your reputation, you keep right on doing stuff like that." He told me in a loving way. He said, "If you ever want to be anything for God, if you ever want to preach, if you ever want to do anything, you need to be careful the places you go and the things that you do. Because chances are, sitting on these pews, there's some young men that one day may accept the call to preach. And what you're doing now may not seem to matter. But when your brain starts back working again, and God begins to place a call on your life, you'll look back and say, 'My Lord, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I'd have been more careful. I wish I hadn't have messed and dated with every girl. I wish I hadn't have went and done and just run. I wish I'd have been more faithful.'" I feel the Holy Ghost here. You need to be careful how you live. Because I understand people, and I'm sad to say, people aren't as forgiving as God is. God can forgive and forget what you've done. I remember, Brother Jim, and I hope enough time has elapsed between way back then and now that I can preach this without you having any less confidence in me. But I remember when I was that age, and my brain wasn't working. And I did some stupid stuff. That's just a fact of the matter, I did. And I remember when I prayed through the second semester of my senior year in high school, and I prayed through about it. God called me to preach. There were people that they told me years later, they said, "When I heard you got called to preach, I laughed." And I said, "Not him." Because they knew. Understand me, that's not a pleasant thing. It takes a long time for people to forget about those things. And really, they never forget about them. They just push them to the back of their mind. Your reputation reflects your church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to bring a reproach on my pastor. I don't want to bring a reproach on my church. The way you dress reflects your church. There's a lot of good holiness men that preach a good standard, but they are questioned because of the way some of their young people act and dress at youth camp. They just are. I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to be one of those people that come to youth camp and when I leave, people question my church and my pastor. I've heard this statement, Brother Jim. "I thought they were wholeness." Have you ever heard that statement? "I thought that was a wholeness church." Why they say that? Because all they see is what's right here. And I'm thankful for the way you young people are praying and getting in. So maybe I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me of the riches of there's nothing more priceless than when somebody says, "What about this young man?" I know a lot of young men like this. You say, "What about this young man?" They say, "He's a good young man. He lives good. That's a praying young man." I don't know how a lot of pastors do and a lot of preachers do, but I know my pastor. When some boy starts coming around wanting to talk to Sister Carrie back there, Sister Candace from our church, my pastor turns into private investigator. He begins to call and check up. "You know anything about this boy?" A lot of people don't. They just, whatever. But our young people's too important. He turns into private investigator. He begins to call around. You know anything about this boy? Calls his pastor. Calls former pastors. Calls friends. What do you know? Huh? And you know what? I love it when you hear a report back and say, everything I've heard about him is good. Everything. My sister-in-law is talking to a boy right now. Some of you may know Jacob McCoy. His dad used to pastor up around Lexington. My father-in-law began to do some investigative work, and I've talked to some people. Every report that's come back was he's a good young man. He loves God. He just graduated from Bible school. That's the kind of reputation that you want to form, young people. Because when all of these young years are over, and all of that's gone, you'll look back and you won't have any regrets. You'll never regret being known as a praying young man. You'll never regret being known as a holiness young lady. But what you will regret is if you have to spend years of your life proving yourself because of a few stupid mistakes. The riches of a good reputation. Understand me. You've only got one chance to make a first impression. One opportunity to make a first impression. Once it's made, if you make the wrong first impression, it can take years to undo what you did in one moment's time. Is it really that important? You better believe it's that important. There's preachers right now that could preach circles around me across this country. That don't take much. I understand. That's what some of you said. I understand that. There's preachers, but because of one foolish, careless moment, they ruined their ministry. It's that important, young people. It's that important to guard your character and to guard your reputation. Not only does it reflect your conduct and reflect your church, lastly, and I'm fixing to close, but your reputation reflects Christ. The Bible said in the New Testament, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ. They knew they had been with Jesus because they talked like Jesus, because they had the mannerisms of Jesus, because they did what Jesus taught. They knew they had been in the presence of God. Understand, as I said a while ago, the Bible said you're a living epistle read of all men. This world looks at you and a lot of times judges Christianity by the way we conduct ourselves. I know a lot of you is not old enough, but some of us older ones, they judge the church and Christ by how we conduct business, by how we pay our bills, by how we do different things. But they're also looking at you, young people. And how many of you have heard the statement, if that is a Christian, then I'm okay. If that is what Christianity is, then I'll make it. Because you understand that the church and Christ, they're not judged by the upstanding, outstanding camp meeting preachers that has just a impeccable reputation. But they're judged by the weakest ones. You ever notice there's certain groups, there's certain people, certain churches that you know, they're great and they're wonderful. But what stands out the most to you? It's those that act crazy. I was at a youth camp sometime, and there was a church group came from way off. They just come for toward the end of the meeting. There was a great camp that week. They got in there that night in the dorms. May I put a plug in for the board here? They got in the dorms that night, and they absolutely destroyed the dorms. I'm talking about flipping mattresses, knocking holes in the wall, running around the building, screaming and yelling. Their pastor's a great man. They go to a great church. But somehow when they got away, they forgot that they are representing a church. They're representing Christ. And then when they leave, people's wondering, do they always act like that? How do they? Hey, this morning, young people, we're going to close. We're going to give an altar call. A good reputation is priceless. It's something you can never, ever do without. And it's something once you lose it, it can take you a lifetime to regain it. I don't know about you, but life's too short for me to be chasing down rumors and chasing down tales and trying to overcome and outlive. Let me just admonish you, young people, just live right. There's nothing wrong with living wholeness. All right? Worldly is not cool. Anybody can be worldly. Anybody can push the limits. Just live good, clean, holiness, dress right, live right, act right in the dorm, act right on the street, act right in the church. And you know what? When you get 20, 21, 29, Brother Pascarell's 34, Brother Jim's older than me and him both. When you get that age, people can look at you and say, that's a good young man. I remember him when he was a young man. I remember when he was a boy. He's always loved the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. If there's an adult that can get us a song, Sister Becky, if you want to get us a song, we're going to get these young people to pray. And what's good about the service this morning, young person, you may have gotten off to on the wrong foot. A lot of us have at times in our life. Got off on the wrong foot. There's things you wish you could turn the hourglass back upside down, let the sand redrain, flip it back over and start over. You really can't do that altogether. What you can do is you can come to an altar, say, Lord, I've already made a few mistakes. I've already gotten myself a name that I wish I didn't have. But you can pray through in an altar this morning. And then you can start this morning at a young age. And then in a few years, somebody can look back and say, man, I seen such a change in them. Well, I seen them make a 180-degree turn. As she plays this morning, young people, let's all come around this altar. Lord, I want to have a good name. It don't matter, young man. God calls you to preach. You may have a 40-foot travel supreme, but if you don't have a good name, you won't have nowhere to preach. You may have all the money, but you won't have nowhere. Young lady, you get married and feel a call to that preacher or the preacher's wife in the ministry and all of these things. That's good. But understand your reputation could hinder that ministry and that call. Come on, young people. God, I want a good name. I'm not as concerned about being cool as I am about my character. I'm not as concerned about fitting in as I am having a good reputation.